You're listening to BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. It is The Bigger Picture and it's Meera Sivasuthi, a confluence of India's finest traditions, Bharatanatyam and Odyssey, and performed to live music, no less, is the promise of the performance Sharanagadi, set to be presented next month by Kalpana Dance Theatre, featuring original choreography and music compositions by world-renowned maestros. I find out what's in store from Shangeeta Namasivayam. She's the founder of Kalpana Dance Theatre, who joins me with dancers Sumathi Chandra and Dania Rubini Lim. Welcome to the show, ladies.
Hi.
How are you doing today?
Good afternoon. Very well, thank you.
Let's start with Shangeeta. I mean, Shangeeta, you founded Kalpana Dance Theatre.
That's right.
Tell me about that. What made you even want to start it? You were a dancer before. How old were you when you started?
I have been dancing from the time I was four.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what else to do. I do that best, I think.
But what made you want to go into dance at the age of four? Obviously, your parents pushed you into it.
No, not at all.
Mm-hmm.
To the contrary, actually, I'm born Sri Lankan. And I think it was from the time I was two and a half, I forced my mother to take me to dance class every year. And every year, she'll trail me to that poor teacher and she'll say, you're too young, Shangeeta, next year. And I come back in tears. And finally, at four and a half, they took me in.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's just the calling. But
So hard to explain. At 2 years old, to want to know that you want to dance.
I know. I don't know.
It's got to be karma.
But I think I'm going to change professions.
After how long now?
35, 40 years.
Right. You know, do you still dance?
Yes, I do.
You still dance. Does it take a lot of effort to dance at this age?
No, not at all.
Mm-hmm.
How do you
keep yourself fit?
Oh, basically a hyper person by nature, walking, swimming, lots of swimming,
mm-hmm.
yoga.
Right. A lot of people think that once you hit your 30s, you can't dance anymore. Especially when you have your children and, you know, you need to get on with life. Dance sort of takes a back seat. And I remember Geeta Shankaran, and she is one of the very prominent dancers here who went back to dance at a much older age and a huge inspiration.
She was dancing all through too, I think.
Yeah.
But no, I think if you want to do it, it's like anything else, Meera.
Yeah.
I mean, you'll always find a way.
Right.
Yeah.
So what made you want to set up Kalpana Dance Theatre?
See, I've been travelling a lot. I lived in Sri Lanka for a long time. Then I moved to Australia for a while. And I've been teaching all the while, performing. And then when we came to Malaysia, my husband and I, it was Kalpana Dance Theatre.
Mm-hmm. You couldn't think of doing anything else, could you?
Well, I did a few other things. But like teaching, I'm also a Montessori teacher. And but this is my passion. This is it. And I had training from one of India's best colleges of fine arts, mm-hmm. Kalakshetra. And I think I have a duty to share that a splendid training that I've had, mm-hmm. you know.
Could you tell me a little bit more about Kalakshetra training? I mean, are you saying that not everyone is trained in it?
No, Kalakshetra is a full-time dance institute in India that was set up in the 1930s, mm-hmm. by a lady called Rukmini Devi Arundale. She started Kalakshetra at a time when the British had banned classical Indian dances in India because of the temple practices and so on and so forth, and then the royalty misused it and whatnot. Mm-hmm. So she, being a Brahmin, brought it back, giving it the dignity. And it is due to her that we are able to dance today. Otherwise, it would have been forgotten and lost. So Kalakshetra is a very rigid, very strict, very disciplined school of dance and music. And it's a four-year full-time course where music, dance, theory, you learn dance as a wholesome subject,
mm-hmm.
not just how our children here do come once a week or twice a week, and that's all they can afford to do. But this is what I wanted to do, so I chose to do it full-time. And the training is completely different, you know. Music is a part, it's a way of life there.
Right. So how old were you when you actually went there?
16. I was very
young. 16.
From a very spoiled background. I was thrown right into the middle of the ocean.
How did it help you?
Oh, I think I'm what I am because of Kalakshetra today.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do you think it should be available to everyone, really? Is it difficult to get into?
No. It's not difficult to get into, but a lot of people join and a lot of them leave very quickly. life is hard, discipline is hard. You have to stay focused. Mm-hmm. It's not easy.
But you survived the 4 years.
Yeah.
You also did some...
I survived for 5 years, yes.
5 years. You also did some form of ancient martial arts. Is it at
yes,
the same
I
place?
Yes, I worked with this other, a completely contemporary choreographer called Chandralekha, mm-hmm. who is a phenomenal personality today. She actually contemporized Indian dance in India at that time, in the 80s. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was very, very lucky to work with these two very dynamically different personalities, Rukmini Devi, who was a traditionalist, and then Chandralekha on the other side, who was completely out of the box thinking, you know?
All right. So and not a purist, okay.
No, I mean, technically, she worked with very, very strict standards, but thought out of the box. She thought dance shouldn't be just a beautification, just to express God and love and, talk about real themes, talk about the water problem in India, talk about issues that matter, try and communicate, make a statement. That was her point.
All of that through dance or martial
All
arts?
All through dance.
Okay. And the martial arts aspect came into that?
She liked Kalaripayattu, which is a traditional old Kerala martial art form. And she had very good masters coming in from Kerala to train our bodies to be able to do different things as well.
Right, okay. So hence the training in martial arts. Tell me about yourself, Sumithi. I mean, you're a dancer. You come from Singapore. How different was your training from Shangeeta's? Her sounds
pretty
tedious.
Well, a little
tedious.
Similar though.
Okay.
Because I myself actually started at a very late age. Mm-hmm. I also had that interest from the time I was a small child. And, every time I watch the television and I'm like, literally sitting in front of the television and really admiring the dance, but my mom did not allow me because for her it was just, make sure you study, make sure you get into your university, complete it. Those older generation parents, mm-hmm. for them the priority was that. It's
and
very different now, actually.
And being in Singapore
yes,
didn't help.
Actually now, especially in Singapore when it's a bit stressful. Actually now, the generation now is a little different. They want the child to be all-rounded. It was not like that for me, unfortunately. So I actually finished my studies and then only started actually dancing in 1991. Mm-hmm. And I was already around 21.
Right.
At that age. So I was a late starter. But for me, because dance has been a passion from all the way from young, it was inside me. So when I actually started, I actually moved fast. Mm-hmm. So I actually started in Singapore Temple of Fine Arts. And within 4 years, I graduated my Bharatanatyam dance.
Well done.
Yes, Bharatanyam dance. And I was a teacher by profession in Singapore. Mm-hmm. And got married and I came and moved to Kuala Lumpur and I gave up my teaching profession and actually went into full-time
dance.
As a dancer.
Right.
And I was a full-time dancer for a long time in Temple of Fine Arts. Then after that, I became a teacher in fine arts.
Right. You have a lot of other dance interests.
Yes, I actually have. In the journey of my dance career, I've learned a lot of other things. I've not only done Bharatanatyam, I've done Odissi. Odissi is my major now. I'm a dance teacher at Odissi dance teacher at Temple of Fine Arts. And along the way, I've done ballet, contemporary, Malay dance, Chinese. At the moment, I'm also learning Kathak, folk, Bollywood, name it. I've tried everything.
How did you learn ballet at what? 25, 26?
Very little. I wouldn't say I'm a ballet trainer, just a little exposure to mm-hmm. ballet, Yupin, one of the teachers from the Federal Academy, she's come, just a touch and go of everything, to experience.
Yeah. Does one ever stop being a student of dance?
No.
I'm still learning, mm-hmm. while even though I'm a teacher.
You're dead the moment you stop.
Actually, when you teach, even a student teaches you.
That's true.
Actually.
Yeah. Dania.
Yes.
Rubini Lim. Now, tell me about yourself. I mean, you look like the youngest here. the one who...
Thank you, Mira.
That includes myself. How did you start dancing?
Well, I started at the age of 10. And as how both the teachers have actually said, it was like a calling, how they actually pestered their parents. I want to go dance. I want to go dancing and all. It was the same case as well. So... from a very small age, I used to listen to all this. Mom will always play all this, the songs, all the God songs and all
the
in
devotional
the morning.
Songs,
the devotional songs mm-hmm. and everything.
Yep.
And I would just put on my traditional clothes. They were called powder, and I'll start dancing. And then she'll look at me. She'll just look and she'll ignore. Yeah. But yeah, I would tell her, I say, Ma, I want to go dancing, I want to go dancing. And finally, at the age of 10, only at 10, she said, okay, fine. I'm so fed up of hearing you go on and on about it. I'll put you in any class. So I didn't really have any like paper qualification like how Sangeeta teacher has and Sumati teacher has, you know, from Temple of Fine Arts and all. For me, it was just one of the masters who was teaching in a house, teaching in a hall. So through that, it grew. Mm-hmm. You know, I've always loved dance. I was breathing, eating, sleeping. Every minute of my time was, my feet would constantly be tapping.
Yep.
When I'll be going to school, I'll be on the motorbike and I'll, you know, the music would actually play in my head. So that was how
your story is no different from, you know, both Sangeeta and Sumati, because you said you're a younger version.
The passion,
that's
is
it.
Still,
passion is there.
True.
And that's it. So you did your Arangetram and all of that.
Yes, I did.
Okay.
Yes,
and I did. Now you, what do you do full time? Do you just dance?
Yes.
Actually, yeah, just dance. And I'm a stay-at-home mom. Mm-hmm. I've got two boys. My older son is 4 and my youngest is 4 months.
See, I would never have known.
That's right.
She looks 18.
Thank you.
No, you do. So, I mean, obviously you have Chinese blood. Am I correct? How did that, did the Chinese blood sort of not influence you to do other sort of dance as well?
No, not really. In fact, my father, you would see him at every performance of mine, he would be the first person standing there with the
headlights.
Actually,
he's more Indian than Chinese.
Yeah, very true. Very true. Right. He would be the first person standing there, setting up the stage, telling them, okay, you know, the speaker should face like this, the music should be loud. And they'll be looking, because they wouldn't know that he's actually my dad. And they'll look at him like, what's this Chinese man doing here? So it was a very unlikely sight in temples and halls and all. Yeah. So.
It's hard to explain, isn't it?
Yeah.
Sometimes it's very, very hard to explain things like that. How much practice do you, all of you, put into dance training every day? What about yourself, Dani?
Like for me, for now, for this production. I'm going for classes for 3 days a week with teacher, 2 hours, mm-hmm. 2 hours a day. I mean, I wish I could do more. But I can't because I've got my kids
at home. Of course,
yeah.
I mean, to even find 2 hours a day, I think, is an achievement with two such young children. What about yourself, Sumati?
Myself, in the mornings, actually at least about 2 hours every day in the morning. Mm-hmm. And then evenings when I can, because evenings I actually teach in Temple of Fine Arts. So bulk of my time also goes for that. Mm-hmm. So it's basically in the mornings that I devote my time for this, generally to dance and all that.
What about yourself, Sangeeta?
I'm not dancing in this production, Meera, mm-hmm. because...
But just generally, you know, you would
generally
keep in touch
more
with
than dance, I exercise every morning. I walk for an hour, then I swim for half an hour, mm-hmm. and then I do yoga.
Okay.
So that is a routine thing, Monday to Friday.
All right.
Weekends get too busy with classes.
Sure. And your role in this performance called Sharanagadi?
Yes, I'm producing it.
You're producing it. And of course, we've got Dania and Sumati who are dancing.
They're performing, yes.
When we come back, we'll find out more about the performance. We'll dive into it and even have a listen to, you know, some of the music and see what it really sounds like. That's coming up next on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
You're listening to BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Good afternoon, it is The Bigger Picture and it's Meera Sivasuthi. Sangeeta Namasivayam, she's the founder of Kalpana Dance Theatre, together with dancers Sumati Chandra and Dania Rubini Lim. In the studio with me, there is a performance called Sharanagadi, which actually means absolute surrender, am I correct?
That's right. Yeah.
That's happening from, let me see, the 19th and 20th of July. And
we've got in Kuala Lumpur.
Loads of time, actually. More than a month to go, really, for this performance.
Yes.
But what is it all about? Sangeeta, would you like to just tell me a little bit more?
Yes, Meera. Sharanagati has been a long time dream of mine. I am a classically trained Bharatanatyam dancer. I believe in doing one dance form properly. I'm sorry, I no offense to Sumati and other dancers who can, their body can work in many ways. For me, I think it takes a lifetime or more to do one of these classical dances well, dance forms well. Mm-hmm. So, but my daughter dances Odissi, and she's also one of Sumati's students. And I've loved both dance forms very much, and I wanted to see them come together in a beautiful manner for many years. But it's such a difficult project. It is to bring it together without losing its individual essence, you know? Yeah, so a lot of thinking has gone into this production, and after 10, 15 years, it's actually happening. Mm-hmm. And musically too, we are bringing in two live sets of orchestras from the north and the south.
Of India. Okay.
Again, the Carnatic and the North Indian. Again, to show the confluence, but yet retaining its own identity.
Right. So you will hold up the tenets of both sort of dance.
Yes, without very, very any strictly. Kind of fusion or confusion.
That must have been quite hard for you.
Yeah, it is. It's still quite challenging because, Meera, actually, we don't know what is going to come out of this whole thing because the two choreographers here have never met each other. Mm-hmm. So they're going to arrive in 2 weeks and then this whole work will start from there and we'll see it
grow,
opening out, blossoming.
Right. Aren't you both excited as dancers?
Very excited.
So many, you really don't know what to expect.
Yes, because I have done so many shows in this journey of my being a dancer, but for me this is really a golden rare opportunity. Mm-hmm. So when Sangeeta graciously, you know, told me to dance in the show, for me it is like a real lifelong dream because it's something that is so rare. It's going to be really a feast for the audience eyes and ears. Mm-hmm. Actually,
okay.
And so it's a real honor to dance in this show for me.
Tanya?
I've never been involved in any big productions and this is my first time, my first experience being in one. I'm nervous to my very core up till today. But yes, I'm so thankful to Sangeeta teacher for actually choosing me to be part of it, mm-hmm. to be part of this production. You know, my biggest fear is letting her down. Mm-hmm. You know, making
she
her.
She won't.
So I'm hoping I don't.
She's got the Chinese blood.
Yes. I'm hoping that helps me. So, yeah. So. Really excited. So excited.
But Sangeeta, you were saying that this is one of your dreams. Why did you want to see both Bharatanatyam and Odyssey come together?
See, these are the popular.
It's a favorite.
See, Bharatanatyam is my life breath. I don't think any other Indian classical dance form can take over this thing. But Odyssey is also a very beautiful dance form, mm-hmm. and very completely different, but still very beautiful. And the music is unbelievably very different from our South Indian Carnatic music.
Okay, we'll just have a quick listen. This song that I'm going to play is Shambhu Nadanam, right? It's going to be one of the songs that's going to be part of this performance. I'm just going to play a short bit and you can tell me what it is all about.
Shri Kanto Matulu Yasya Janani Sarva Mangala Janaka Shankaro Deva Tam Mande Kunjarananam Sri Kanto Matulo Yasya Janani Sarva Mangala Janaka Shankaro Deva Tam Vande Kunjarananam Sadanchitam Danchitane Kunchita Padam Jala Jalam Chalita Manju Katakam Patanjali Driganjana Mananjana Machanchala Padam Janana Bhanjana Kadam Kadamba Ruchimambara Vasampara Mamambuda Kadambaka Vidambaka Galam Chidam Budhi Manim Buddha Hridam Bujaravimpara Chidambara Natam Hridibhaje.
I would have recognized O.S. Aaron's voice anywhere. He performed, he sang for Maven Koo's performance as well.
That's right.
Which happened last week. Yeah. And he's going to be performing here as well.
Yes.
That itself is a treat.
Yes.
Just watching O.S. Aaron perform is a treat by itself. Tell me about the music. How did you come up with it, and who decided on, who put
the music
together?
Well, actually, the dancers, the two choreographers decided together with me. We came up with a concept. Mm-hmm. Then we, of course, threw it by Mr. O.S. Aaron, and he has, together with Dheeraj Kumar Mohapatra, from Orissa, India. Mm-hmm. They have choreographed original music compositions for this. We met in India last year, and I got the Orient musicians to come down to Chennai, and we put together this whole thing. So it is going to be a treat, both musically and from the dance side.
Let's talk about the choreographers. You have a stellar lineup of choreographers. Who are the creative people behind this?
We have P.T. Narendran from the Bharatanatyam side, mm-hmm. and we have Leena Mohanty from Orissa for Odissi.
Okay.
They're both very well-known Indian artists, mm-hmm. and I think it's going to be fantastic because two amazingly creative minds coming together here. Mm-hmm. And then you've got O.S. Aaron and Dheeraj on the other side.
Wow.
So whether you want to listen to the music or come and see the dance, you have a choice there.
My hair's standing already, just thinking about it, you know.
And then the wonderful part is that we have our Malaysian dancers and musicians also.
Okay.
So this is very important for me because it's very easy to bring the best from India and present it here.
Right.
But what am I doing for our dancers?
Our talent here
in
Malaysia. Yeah. So they will be part of all of this as well.
Yeah, it's just the choreographers who are coming in. All the other dancers are from here.
Okay. Who are the other dancers besides Dania and Sumathi?
We have Sumathi, we have Gauri, mm-hmm. another Temple of Fine Arts teacher, okay. doing Odissi. We have my daughter Nrutha Ganeshi. And from the Bharatanatyam side, we have Dania, we have Datin Sri Umayal Iswaran. And we have one more dancer coming in from Kalakshetra.
Okay,
another male dancer.
All right. Mm. This is just an observation based on the names. In no way am I looking down on anyone, but you seem to have older people dancing in this production. Is there a reason for that? Because normally I find
old
the dancers
is gold, isn't it? Old is wise.
The dancers are really young. But, you know, Datin Umayal, Sumathi are all older, compared to Dania. Is there a reason for that?
No reason. Choice was made just based on talent.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting.
You'll be surprised to see if actually Sumathi teacher and Datin Sri Umayal has actually more stamina than I would have.
See, that will dispel a lot of myths as to age and dance, and that's attached to
no,
a lot
but if
of
you
it.
Looked at the Indian dance scene, who I are think, the heroines
yeah,
of the day to day? All
boundary.
The 50, 60 year olds.
Age is not a boundary.
Dr. Sonal Mansingh, she's 70, and she's one of the living legends in India. Yeah. Briju Maharaj is 80, just dancing every day. Yeah,
great.
I think Indian classical dance has that fantastic, no boundary.
Sure. Costume design, set design, lighting. Could you explain or tell me a little bit more about that?
All this will come into play only when the choreographers come in because I don't know what they have planned in their heads.
Okay.
Yeah, but the costume Sumathi and I have put together. Mm-hmm. We have
sourcing
looked at
it from
and
Orissa.
Sourcing it. So the Odissi costumes will come in from Orissa, the Bharatanatyam costumes
from India,
from Chennai.
Sure. How long will the performance be, roughly?
1.5 hours, I hope.
Oh, yeah. That'll be a treat with an intermission,
yes.
I'm assuming.
Yes.
With an intermission.
Yeah,
okay.
With an intermission.
So it's going to be happening 19th and 20th of July at the Shantan and Auditorium, Jan Berhala in Brickfields. That's really the Temple of Fine Arts.
And on the 21st,
okay.
we are performing at the Ipoh Town Hall in Ipoh.
Okay, great.
Yes.
Not going to Penang? Everybody else seems to be going to Penang.
I think Penang is coming to Ipoh to watch us.
Oh, great. A lot of things happening in Penang right now. Very thriving sort of art scene. Would you like to add anything else so that you can enlighten me as to the whole dance performance?
It's very simply said, Sumathi, I think it is a must-watch performance. The first of its kind in Malaysia.
Has it been done anywhere else in the world?
I didn't want to call it world premiere, Mira, because I wasn't 100% sure.
Right.
But definitely not in Malaysia. So we have some of the best local and Indian talent.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just two nights. I mean, 1,300 guests. So don't delay. Invitations are already available.
Mm-hmm. bringing two sorts of dance, Bharatanatyam and Odyssey,
and to the stage. Like Sukanya Venugopal doing the narration.
And they both are most popularized forms at this moment.
In Malaysia, but nobody quite sees it together. Yeah. We don't really get to watch it together.
They may have done it, but in a very small scale. But, you know, with a live musician,
two sets on the same stage. Malaysia does not have live music Odyssey Orchestra.
Odyssey Orchestra, that's right.
So everybody performs to only tape recorded music. So that itself is a treat.
Great. So admission is by invitation, which are available at the Temple of Fine Arts. You can call them, and as well as in the Kalpana Dance Theatre, you can call them. Take these numbers down. There are two of them, 03-2274-3709. That's the Temple of Fine Arts. Or you can call 017-672-5672. I'll repeat those numbers again, 03-2274-3709 or 017-672-5672. For more information, you can also go on to kalpanadancetheatre.blogspot.com. They're also on the Facebook page. If you go on to facebook.com/sharanagadi,
That's the Facebook page address.
Yes.
So Facebook will have the EPO numbers too, Mira.
As well. Okay, great. So 19th, 20th July, you want to make that date. Malaysians tend to forget very quickly. It's over a month away, 1.5 hours for the performance. I think everyone should really go and watch. Thank you, ladies, for joining me today.
Thank you so much for having us.
Shangeeta Namasivayam, founder of Kalpana Dance Theatre, together with dancers Sumathi Chandra and Danya Rubini Lim on the dance performance called Sharanagadi, loosely translated meaning absolute surrender, on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
BFM 89.9, The Business Station.